8 o'clock, Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. How you doing today? Coming up in just about 19 minutes, Connor McGahee, voice of the Avalanche. And then 8:40 this morning, Chris Dempsey covers the Nuggets for Altitude. Well, the Nuggets and the Pelicans tonight right here on the Team pregame at 6:30. Couple of Qdoba questions of the day today, brought to you by Qdoba Mexican Grill. It's always fresh, healthy, delicious. Breakfast at Qdoba, too.
Yeah.
Grand Junction Montrose locations, by the way, for that. So stop by and grab breakfast at Qdoba today.
And order it online. Go right, pick it up.
There you go. Boom, boom. Just like that. You got breakfast with Qdoba. Okay. The Pioneer League, they are going to make some changes as far as this upcoming baseball season, with the change in terms of the league. It's going to be a partner league, no longer the direct affiliations with Major League Baseball. And so, like a lot of minor leagues, and we talked about this several weeks ago, that there are some rule changes going on at the minor league level. And for the Pioneer League, which will get started, with the Rockies playing here in June, after they're gone for a while for the Junior College World Series over at Zaplesio, they'll be on the road while that's going on. Part of the change will be that when you get to extra innings, it's going to go home run derby. Each team will pick a hitter. They'll get five pitches. If that doesn't resolve it, then they will go to two other hitters, one for each team, and then it will be sudden death. Do you like that idea? Even, big league level, we're not, you and I agree, we're not, not going to happen.
I'm going to pass on that.
But how much fun will it be to see a home run derby situation resolve a Pioneer League game over at Zaplesio Field? Like it, hate the idea. And also, the article with the AP today about 50 rural high schools that are not happy with how CHASA treats them, that they feel like CHASA neglects their needs.
Only 50.
CHASA is more focused on the front range and higher classifications, and not so much on, for example, 1A and 2A schools that are in those classifications. We have certainly plenty of those schools right here on the Western Slope. Do you see the possibility, and we've talked about this before, about the Western Slope doing its own thing, because of some similar issues, here on the Western Slope with CHASA in the past, that can you see this maybe being the start, if these schools break off and start their own high school athletic association, that you see maybe an even greater fracturing of CHASA going forward? So thoughts on any of those things today, text or call us 970-242-1340. Rockies get a win last night, first road win of the season. Ryan McMahon and C.J. Cron in the 10th inning, back-to-back jacks for the Rockies. They get the win at San Francisco last night. So text or call us, 970-242-1340. All right. Got Andy on the text line. I'm personally okay with home run derby. The minor's supposed to be quirky. And that is true. I mean, look at all the team names over the years. It's got a history of that. Got one from Steve this morning. A cool article on Delta County Independent on Dan Cholos. Great picks. I think the Broncos should trade back and get Zavion Collins and either Kellen Mond or a solid right tackle. Dan Cholos, a long time, I believe, athletic director at Delta in the past. And so I'll be honest, Steve, I have not seen the article about Dan. I've not checked it out. I will make that a point, though, to do that. Let's see. So I think that's where we are right now in terms of the text line. So a lot to talk about today, Pyle. Lots out there for you. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. All right. We've got the draft course coming up tomorrow right here on the team. We'll have coverage tomorrow night.
Yep.
And George Payton getting ready for his first draft as a general manager. And George Payton appearing in the third episode of Behind the Broncos, No Shortcuts, because that's become the new mantra with George Payton there. No shortcuts. Going to invest lots of time in watching tape and going places to evaluate talent up close and personal. And Peyton saying, we have three picks in the first 75. We have the flexibility to move up. We can move back. We're in a prime position to upgrade our football team. And he was asked about his approach to evaluating the right players for the Broncos in this draft. And he said, you got to dig deeper into each player, whether it's his mental, whether it's his character, you know, psychological tech, the analytics. And he says it's important to have a clear vision of a player's potential fit, how they're going to fit in with this team. We ask the coaches, what's your vision for this player? If the player is really talented but doesn't fit the coach's vision, then it's not going to work. And then he also had Vic Fangio, who had made the comment about, you do want to draft the best player available, but the need does fit in there also a little bit more than it used to in the old days. The higher you pick, the need factor is less prevalent, but still talked about. Okay, so taking away, you know,
that was a classic answer the question with no answer from Vic.
Yeah, do you want to draft the best player available? You want to draft the best player available, but the need does fit in there. So
here's a word roundabout.
Yeah. So, okay. You want to draft the best player, but he's got to fit.
Right.
Well, doesn't that defeat the purpose of best player available? It means you're looking for a specific need, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if my need is inside linebacker, then you have Micah Parsons sitting there.
Right.
But maybe Penei Sewell falls to number 9. What do you do then? Because...
And Micah Parsons is still sitting there. Because you need help on the offensive line.
And so what... I mean, but...
You can never have too many.
And he's maybe the best... Or it's a quarterback. Maybe it's Mac Jones. Or maybe it's Trey Lance. Or it's Fields. Those players are certainly going to be, you know, higher rated than... Well, Micah Parsons is the top linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sewell and some of those guys are higher rated in terms of overall draft order. Those are all areas of still kind of need for you. How do you address the problem then? Who's the best? Who is, quote, the best player available at that moment then? If you see where I'm getting at.
Right.
It depends on what's... Prioritize your need. What is your number one need? Is your number one need inside linebacker? Is your number one need a right tackle to replace Juwan James at some point?
Is your number one need...
Quarterback.
Is it...
What is your number one need, and who is the best player to fulfill that particular spot?
Yeah,
Vic didn't really answer that question, let's be honest about it.
You don't have to tell us what your number one need is. I'm not... It doesn't bother me that he's not going to tell us. The problem is... Like, it seems like he's not quite sure exactly what the number one need is. That's how it comes across to me. And that's worrisome. 2-3 days out from the draft.
Of course, that's also Vic talking.
I know, and I understand that. And Vic is not necessarily a wordsmith. He's not the most loquacious head coach there's ever been. But he didn't go the Kyle Shanahan. I can't guarantee anybody of us will be alive on Sunday, let alone...
Kyle. Kyle Shanahan. Oh, yeah, what he said, like, that's stupid. Don't say stuff like that. We could all be dead by then.
He turned it up to 11 there. I was like, whoa,
come
brother.
Come on, dude. Why so dark?
Yeah. Why so serious?
That's why...
Like, man alive.
Come on. Wait, was Kyle Shanahan a bit goth back when he was a kid or something?
Maybe. I don't know. But yeah... And so, I mean, if they have a hierarchy of need, right? They know what their priorities are and are in order. That's great. You don't have to tell me. I just need to know that you know. And I'm not... confidence is not being inspired with that statement. That particular statement.
And see, and I'm less concerned than you are because... Now, Vic was the guy... Vic was the classic old school... GM, mm-hmm. head football coach, I'd be more concerned.
Yeah. I know he's not the guy in charge. I understand.
And so it lessens my concern about him. But it is interesting to hear him, like you said, get in the word roundabout because he didn't really answer the question.
No.
He didn't. You know, and I think certainly...
And it wasn't one of those, he didn't answer, but you're like, oh, okay, I get it. It was didn't answer, but what the hell did you just say? It was... What are you talking about?
But I do agree with those that say, while quarterback's a priority, certainly you cannot forget an offensive line. To me, mm-hmm. is still, you cannot fall asleep on that. I still don't think the work is done on this offensive line. I don't think you can hang the banner and it's fixed.
Yeah, you're not a mission accomplished guy.
Yeah, the analytics from last year still say otherwise, no matter how much, you know, Garrett Bowles improved. Or was it just refs stopped calling holding penalties in a COVID year because those numbers were down across the board in the league in terms of holding penalties? So you have to keep that in mind, too.
It could be
too.
Either way.
Right. But let's not, like I said, let's not hang the banner that this is a finished product and it's done. And
because you can never have too many good offensive linemen.
And I totally agree with you on that.
There's no such thing as a glut of offensive linemen. You can use them somewhere. You can use them as draft capital. You can use them as trade bait. You can use them as blockers for whoever. You can never have too many good offensive linemen.
And also, I don't think you can fall asleep on continuing to build this defense. I mean, they're still, yeah, as good as this unit might be right now on paper, particularly that secondary. You still have Alexander Johnson, as Ryan Edwards mentioned the other day, and Josie Jewell. They're, you know, they're on the final, you know, leg of their contract, mm-hmm. this year, 1 year deals. And so you have to start thinking about that for the near future of, you know, can you upgrade at inside linebacker? Certainly Alexander Johnson. I agree with Ryan. I think Alexander Johnson has exceeded expectations. Josie Jewell disappointed early on. He's been better. But I still think you can probably be better at that position. You still need to probably provide more depth for your defensive line. As good as Draymond Jones is becoming, and Shelby Harris signing a longer-term deal and some of those things and getting Mike Purcell back, the defensive line is still, I think, if you want to, those are the two weak parts of that defense still.
Yes, absolutely.
And you can't just go, well, it's good enough. Look what everybody thinks about our defense, what we've done in free agency. That's great. That's part of this process. You have to continue to build on what you've already done in free agency. And it'll be interesting to see tomorrow night if they stay at number 9. Will George Payton, will it be a guy that he really wants, or will it be Vic going, Micah Parsons is there. Micah Parsons is a freakishly good athlete. Maybe not the greatest in coverage, but we think we can make him better. He would be great to have an inside linebacker. Will he be whispering in his ear?
You know,
about one of the linebackers?
That's the thing that is the big question, right? How are these two going to work together on draft night? Because we get the feeling that George Payton is in command, right, with the way the offseason has developed. But you had guys come in and sign here because of relationships with Vic Fangio. And also, what's Big John's role coming up tomorrow night, too? How meddling's not the right word, but how, air quote, involved will John Elway be tomorrow in his first draft since giving up the reins, so to speak? Those are questions that you don't have a very good answer for from this team yet, right? Like, Kyle Shanahan is the guy in San Francisco. He's not told anybody what he wants to do at number 3. One, because he doesn't want their judgments clouded by what the boss wants. And two, because it just seems like Kyle Shanahan's the guy. John Lynch is there, and John Lynch is going to be a primarily free agency, you know, waiver wire guy. But it seems like the draft is all Kyle Shanahan. I don't get a sense from the Broncos who exactly is driving the bus on the draft. Is it George Payton? Is it Vic?
And see, and I think you're lessening the role that John Lynch has in San Francisco. I think Lynch does play. I agree to a point with what you're saying with Shanahan. I do think though Lynch has a strong enough personality and the relationship is a good enough, mm-hmm. one where John Lynch goes, hey, I have bad feelings about Mac Jones, and they may fight and argue about it, and maybe he would sway Kyle Shanahan, who seems like he's a pretty headstrong guy. But yeah, I also think John Lynch can probably be a pretty headstrong guy, too. In this case,
but I also think John Lynch is a, you're the coach, Kyle. You have to make these guys work. I'm not saying John Lynch is going to back down and acquiesce, but I think he's smart enough to.
I do think Kyle Shanahan play is has more leverage to work with than Vic does with George Payton.
Even though Vic
has been there, because what have the results been?
He went to a Super Bowl. Vic hasn't yet.
Well,
gone to the playoffs.
Well, exactly. I'm talking about Payton though, and Vic. Yeah. Shanahan has obviously big skin on the wall. Took a team to a Super Bowl. What I'm talking about with George Payton and Vic Fangio is Vic doesn't have that.
Right.
George Payton comes in with the fresh perspective. I mean, Lynch and Shanahan have worked together for a while now.
Yeah.
There's a relationship there.
But
there's
what
some
I'm
give
saying
and take
is,
where Payton, I think, comes in as he's now the guy that is the decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
Going to listen to Vic, going to listen to John Elway. But I get the feeling that George Payton, this is his ship. He is the captain of this draft and this ship heading into tomorrow night in the first round. He's a guy that's going to lean heavily on analytics. He said that in this piece with the, you know, on the Broncos side about really relying on analytics. And so it's going to be intriguing what happens tomorrow night. We'll have our Bronco mock draft coming up at 9.
Yep.
So spent a lot of time on that yesterday. A lot of time on that. And so we'll have that coming up later on. Some news and notes today. Antonio Brown back with the Buccaneers. So
for now. I mean, it's early yet.
Signed a one-year deal. $3.1 million guaranteed. Can make up to $6.25 million. Yeah, he's there for now.
It's early yet.
Kind of like Kyle Shanahan saying, yep.
We're all here for now.
We're all here for now. We're all day-to-day, as Oberman used to say.
That's true.
We're all day-to-day. So Antonio Brown signing that deal back with the Buccaneers today. So, good contributor to that team.
Yeah.
Managed to, I think, for the most part, keep his nose clean during his smallish stint with the Buccaneers going into, of course, the Super Bowl.
If he keeps his head screwed on straight, he'll be all right there. That's the big question, though.
And look, and give Tampa Bay some credit. They've kept this group together. Antonio Brown signing, Chris Godwin on the franchise tag, Shaq Barrett, because remember there was some thought they might lose Shaq Barrett in free agency.
Everybody thought they were going to lose somebody.
And Ndamukong Suh, Lavonte David. A lot of us thought that Lavonte David might be gone. I mean, Gronkowski's sticking around, Fournette. So they've done a nice job of keeping that core group together for another run at this whole thing. All right, 818. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Connor McGahee coming up in just a couple of minutes. And right now, it's time to play the number game. Chance to win a small antipasto salad from Junction Square Pizza.
Yes.
7th and Main.
This is one that you got forwarded off to me, which I appreciate.
You're welcome.
The Rockies went back-to-back in extras last night, helped them beat the Giants 7-5. Not only did they score a run, they won their first road game of the year, and it's almost May. Last time the Rockies went back-to-back in extra innings, I want that number. It's a year. The last time the Rockies hit back-to-back homers in extra innings. They've done it 3 times now. Once, the first time was in 1996. The most recent time, technically, was last night. I want the other year, the one in the middle. Before last night, the last time the Rockies went back-to-back in extra innings.
All right, first correct answer. It's a number game. You can win that antipasto salad from Junction Square Pizza. Text it in, 970-242-1340. All right, 819, and weather's getting really nice. And you're thinking, okay, maybe it's time to get out in the garage and start working on that that cool car you had in high school, right? It was a sweet ride back in its day, but that was a long time ago. Got some rust. Got to do some work on the carburetor. That one window,
yeah.
You can't roll it down.
You can't roll it up.
Or you can't roll it up. Darned if you do, darned if you don't.
Right.
And you're looking around, you're going, man, I just don't have the time. And I can do a few things mechanically. I'm not a totally incompetent in the garage, but there's certainly some things here that are above my pay grade. But I'd love to get this car going again, drive it around. The weather's nice. It'd be so cool to show my friends and family this car that meant so much to me when I was in high school or belonged to my granddad, this cool old truck. Mile Eye Muscle can help you with that problem. It's Jared in Delta, 990 Highway 92 in Delta. Call him today, 250-0999, or go to MileHighMuscle5.com. Custom muscle and classic car restoration is a complete shop. Restoration from the ground up. It's the complete bodywork, full paint bay, wiring, drivetrains, complete car restoration to fuel injection. If your car doesn't have air conditioning, he can do that for you as well. Can find the perfect car, we will build it for you at Mile High Muscle. Can make your old car ride like a new one. So what are you waiting for? Stop wasting your time and letting that car just sit there, continue to rust. Get it to Mile High Muscle in Delta today and restore it to its former glory. Give Jared a call today. Mile High Muscle, 250-0999. That's 250-0999. Or go to MileHighMuscle5.com on the web. Mile High Muscle, making your automotive dreams come true.
They're a lot of fun.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
Say what? On Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking Avalanche hockey with the voice of the Avs, Connor McGahee, on The Team.
Joining us this morning from the Concave, it's Connor McGahee. Connor, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Jimmy. I'm fine. It has been literally raining all day and all night over here on this side of the mountains. It's like, it's weird. I don't remember the last time ever that it rained for like 13 hours straight. It's very strange. But I'll take it. My lawn is happy.
My lawn is happy, too. We had quite a bit of rain here yesterday. So.
It busted out the water wings, even.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I could he didn't know that we... you found them in your closet, right, Buckeye? They're in the bottom of the closet.
They're my gym bag.
Yeah.
Good to know I'm not the only one with the water wings out.
Yeah. You're like, my lawn is... I'll be honest, I've never owned a pair of water wings in my entire life.
I don't think so. I mean, if you did, you wouldn't tell everybody about it.
Sure. It's like bragging about the training wheels you had in your bike. That when you were 13, you still had the training wheels on your bicycle.
Hey, didn't crash, didn't drown. I'll brag about
You're
that.
A safety first kind of guy. That's okay.
Safety first guy. I respect that.
That's right. The folks at OSHA would love you to be in charge of our safety here at the building.
They would, too.
5 days of that an accident here at the radio station.
Oh, okay.
Good. We should talk some hockey, right? Because that's why we have you on here to talk
about.
No, this
is so much more fun.
Okay, we could just do this all morning long. We could probably do it. After clinching the playoff spot, not only been shorthanded, boy, it's been a couple of rough outings for the Avalanche, Connor, ever since they nailed down that playoff spot.
Yeah, breaks do not do this team very well. So you go back and look at it, and no preseason games. You start the season 3-3. Very similar record after that 11 game break. The first COVID pause. Very similar afterwards, and then after this break. I mean, some teams like the Montreal Canadiens, they've had a couple long breaks just because of natural scheduling, and they've done well, but the Avalanche are not one of those teams. Now, I still make the argument that if you have three of your top five goal scorers and your starting goaltender, you probably win one, if not both, of those games in St. Louis. And I'm not trying to make excuses, but those are facts. And it's the same tonight in Vegas. Not sure who will go in net, but you still don't have Rantanen and Donskoy or Saad back. Jared Bednar yesterday hopeful that Rantanen and Donskoy could be available for Friday night at home versus San Jose, so we shall see. But it's hard to get going when you're on such a roll that the Avalanche were on when you have these pauses, because a lot of these guys depend on repetition and depend on rhythm, and these pauses just completely throw some water on the fire.
Connor McGahee, radio voice of the Avalanche, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. You mentioned Mikko Rantanen. Jared Bednar hopes to have him back maybe this weekend, maybe Friday for San Jose, coming off the COVID-19 protocol list. So most likely Andrei Burakovsky probably move back to middle six winger. That's probably where he would move back to that spot when Mikko comes back.
Yeah, I would think so, because they're trying to find that right balance. And it's interesting because whoever has been on a line with Nichushkin and Jost has just done, they have benefited from Jost's and Nichushkin's work ethic. First, it was Donskoy. He had that run to push him to, at the time, third in goals on the team. And then Brandon Saad caught some fire when he was with Jost and Chushkin, who have just been workhorses and pretty much have been the Avalanche's best players consistently. Hard to play against. That's been a line with Carl Soderberg the past couple games, and which I've really liked. I mean, that's about as forechecky, if that's a word, it is now, as you can get with Nichushkin, Jost, and Carl Soderberg. So, but I would think that Burakovsky, and you need to get the band back together to have Kadri, Saad, and Burakovsky really be that second line and be successful. And so, but Burakovsky is a natural fit on that top line. He's a left-handed shot. He's got natural chemistry with Nathan MacKinnon. And I said this on the Altitude TV pregame the other night, in an absence of Mikko Rantanen, and fortunately it hadn't happened this year before this past week, but in days and months and years past, Burakovsky has been the natural choice because he has the speed, he has that mental connection with MacKinnon, and he has the skill. So, and lo and behold, the first two games that he's up there on the top line, he has multi-point efforts. So, but that tends to happen when you're with one of, if not the best passer in the game, Nathan MacKinnon. But I would expect that to be the case again tonight versus Vegas.
Connor McGahee, radio voice of the Avalanche, with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. What's going on with Nazem Kadri? He has not been playing well lately.
Have you ever been bit by a snake, Jimmy?
No. I've been around snakes. I've never been actually bit by one.
Snakes. Why didn't it have to be snakes? Nazem Kadri is extremely snake bitten right now. He's not necessarily playing bad hockey. He's getting chances. They're just not going in. And he talked to all of us yesterday from Vegas, and he said, it's amazing what just one little bounce will do for a player's confidence. And it's true, because he's just waiting for that one to hit the crossbar and go in instead of hit Binnington's shoulder and go out. So now 15 games is a long time for a second-line center to go without scoring. He knows that. The coaching staff knows that. But it hasn't been... For lack of opportunities, the puck has just not gone in the net. And the good news is that when Nazem Kadri gets to the playoffs, he shows up. A similar sort of stretch last year, and then he had 9 goals in 15 games in the postseason in the Edmonton bubble last year. So, speaking of the bubble, it is about to burst for Nazem Kadri, and hopefully right when the Avalanche need it most.
And you mentioned how good Nazem Kadri's been in the postseason. You know, wherever he's been, another guy that has always been really good in the postseason is Brandon Saad. You know, of course, won a couple of cups with Chicago, and part of the reason he was brought in was because of what he can do in the playoffs. He's now out right now for the foreseeable future, hopefully back soon, coming off that lower body injury. But this could leak into the Stanley Cup playoffs, possibly, Connor. Just the time where they really, why they brought in Brandon Saad was for the postseason, not for the regular season.
Sure, and he's done well even inside the regular season.
Yes, he has.
He had 2 power play goals career before this year. Now he's got a pair, but he blocked that shot the other night. Bednar said 2 to 4 weeks with lower body. I would assume that it would probably be. I mean, I don't know, but I just knowing hockey players nowadays, especially when it comes to a team like this, they're going to want to get back as soon as possible. So you would think that it would be, you know, the 2 to 3 week range, and if he's feeling good, then he's in. So, but you're right. I mean, that leaks into the first couple games of the Stanley Cup playoffs. If that is, in fact, May 17th, 18th, we don't have dates or a schedule yet, but you just sort of, you assume that that's going to be the case. But yeah, Saad is a key piece to the forward group and the forward depth here. And when you go out and you sign a player to a 1-year deal who has 2 Stanley Cup rings, as you mentioned, I mean, that's why. Because maybe this team has learned some lessons over the past couple of playoff runs on how to get over humps, and a player like that can make the difference. And so he'll be back in time to make that difference, I'm sure of it.
Connor, always appreciate it, and enjoy the rain today. And if you want to put on your water wings, go right ahead. Go out and do that today.
It might be a galoshes type day, actually. Yeah, I just probably wanted to say galoshes.
Because that's a fun word to say, right? Galoshes. Well, something else. I've never owned water wings. I've never owned galoshes before.
Yeah, me neither. But I might have to find a way to get some galoshes today.
Yeah, but like, I mean, look, we're hardy Western Slope guys. You know, that's where we're from. We don't need galoshes.
You don't need it.
Yeah, we don't need that stuff. No,
you don't need anything. You know, just bare feet. Who cares? You step on cacti as you're walking through water. Whatever.
It's exactly. Fine. Yeah. Just you know, that's the rugged individualism, the toughness of those of us from the Western Slope. I mean, I don't think the Front Range guys totally get that. I'm glad you're over there. You know, reminded them of the toughness of the Western Slope.
For sure. And rugged individualism is genius. Oh, that's brilliant. Just put that on a plaque right now.
Absolutely. Like a couple of frontiersmen. I could see us out there, you know, bare feet with our muskets. No galoshes for us, man. We don't
need that. No galoshes over there. None needed.
Yeah, all right. Hey, Connor, have a great call tonight. I appreciate it as always.
I will do my best, fellas. Thank you very much.
Take care. Connor McGahey. No water wings, no galoshes for that guy.
No, he'll just swim. He'll be fine.
He'll be fine. Always enjoy catching up with Connor. All right, 8:33. Another guy we always like to talk to, Chris Dempsey.
Absolutely.
We'll be talking with Chris coming up in just a couple of minutes. Let's go ahead and get to...
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right, start out with Dr. J and LeBron.
Uh-oh.
Dr. J was on Posted Up, the podcast with Yahoo Sports' Chris Haynes this week. Irving named his top two all-time NBA teams, consisting of 10 players in total. So he had 20 players. He didn't have LeBron James on either team. Quote, this is from Dr. J.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy who led the charge in terms of super teams being put together when he put together a team in Miami. He put together a team in Cleveland as well and put together a team in Los Angeles. He can pick his own team. I ain't going to pick his team, so he's not going to pick him. He had Irving had Jerry West, Oscar Robertson, Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell, Elgin Baylor to his first all-time team, Magic Johnson. Okay, so yeah, 10 players total. Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Karl Malone, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on his second all-time team. So I think I initially said two 10-player teams, just one, five first team, five second team. So no Kobe, no Shaq, no Tim Duncan, no Steph Curry, no LeBron. So should LeBron get his panties in a wad over this? Because he left out a lot of other guys too, like Shaq and Kobe Bryant and Tim Duncan, who are great players.
He just picked guys from his era and before, that's all. I mean, that's all it is.
Which I like Dr. J, but come on, man. I mean, don't be like the grumpy old men in Miami, the undefeated Dolphins, cheering on teams that they're undefeated and then lose.
That's exactly what it was like.
Come on. That's stupid.
That's exactly what
he
did.
You want to go on the best players of your era? Okay, I'm fine with that. But the greatest of all time, not including Kobe Bryant on there. I mean,
not like, including the I know people second like and third leading scorers in league history.
Yeah.
Or third and fourth, whatever Kobe and LeBron are.
Yeah. Not good. All right, second down. Looks like the whole, you know, Deion Sanders coaching at Jackson State, that's going to become a trend of former players, former broadcasters getting a chance to coach college football, because there's a report out from the Rap Sheet, NFL Media's Ian Rappaport. Marshall Faulk has talked with Southern University about becoming their next head football coach. It is located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and that's where Marshall Faulk is from. So, is this a good trend? Remember, he got suspended in 2017 over sexual harassment allegations when he worked for the NFL Network. And he was great on there. He did a great job.
Yeah.
But got shown the door for understandable reasons. Is this a good trend? Former players now coaching.
I'm fine with the trend. Maybe not necessarily Marshall Faulk himself as that particular guy, but I'm fine with the trend itself. I really have no problems with the trend itself.
Don't you wish, though, these guys had at least coached some high school at some point or had a little coaching experience? I mean, playing's one thing, coaching something entirely different. And there are guys that coach maybe longtime high school coaches, that'd be an opportunity for them, mm-hmm. or the case may be, or a guy that's been a, you know, an assistant someplace, coordinator, chance to be a head coach, that you're hiring these guys because of the name of who they've been in the past and not the experience that they have right now. That's my concern about it.
That I don't have a big concern about that, because for these programs, it's the players aren't necessarily going to be bringing in the eyeballs. The talent on the field
that's
is not.
True.
The games that they play are not. But you'll tune into a Jackson State game to, because Deion Sanders is the coach. Whatever college Marshall Faulk, because you know that name. It's not like the Alabama where you'll tune in because the team is just dominant. You know, you don't tune into Ohio State games because Ryan Day is the coach. But you will at the FCS or the D2 level for some of these games.
Yeah, I guess that's a valid point. If you want eyeballs on your program, because you're not going to get it from mm-hmm. what your record is and who you yeah. have there necessarily. If you're worried about getting some eyeballs, building the program from that respect, okay, I get it, but I don't hate it. I'm just not crazy about it.
Yeah, I don't have a big problem with it at that level, I guess, because it's not like he knows nothing about football.
That's true.
You know,
I
mean,
same
these
with Deion.
Two greats, right? They're both Hall of Famers, so there is that. Third down. Did you see Chris Sims' mock draft?
I have not.
It's a little weird. He has Washington moving up to pick Trey Lance at number 8.
Okay.
Everything stock 1 through 7. Then at number 11, he has the Patriots jumping up to get Jaylen Waddle. And he has no Justin Fields until 32.
Wow.
To the Bucks. It's a little weird. Do you think I don't think Justin Fields falls
gonna,
that far.
He's not going to. No.
No.
He's not going to fall out of the top 15.
I don't think so. It's a little weird.
It's pretty weird.
ESPN is working on a 4-part docuseries, Once Upon a Time in Queens, on the 86 Mets.
Yes.
How fired up are you for this?
I'm excited. I remember watching that series.
Mm-hmm.
Who can forget Game 6?
Well, just some of the characters on both of those teams.
Doc. Straw.
Yeah. Keith Hernandez was there, right, for the Yankees?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Ron Darling, I think, was part
Mookie.
Of that. Mookie. Wilson, not Betts.
No, yeah. Wilson, not Betts.
Yeah, I'm kind of fired up. I loved what they did with The Last Dance.
Yeah, I think this will be great.
This is going
to
be good.
I'm looking forward to it. All right, that's 4 Down territory. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And up next, talk a little Nuggets with Chris Dempsey. From Altitude, that's on the way on the Jim Davis Show on the Team, Colorado's sports leader.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team. Talking Nuggets with Altitude Sports on the Jim Davis Show.
Joining us right now to talk Nuggets, Chris Dempsey from Altitude. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Doing fantastic this morning. How are you guys?
We're doing well today, Chris. Nuggets and New Orleans tonight. We'll talk more about that coming up in a moment. But I want to get your thoughts about Will Barton and the hamstring injury, the strain that has put him on the shelf for right now. It seemed like Will had really picked up helping to carry some of that scoring load left behind with the injury to Jamal Murray. Certainly Michael Porter Jr. has been doing that. But how concerned are you about this Will Barton injury?
Well, Michael Malone, Nuggets coach Michael Malone, did say recently that he thought that Will Barton wouldn't be back for the foreseeable future. And Michael Malone, usually, if he's going to go into that kind of detail, it's probably going to be a while. So it sounds like we won't see Will Barton. I mean, there's only a few weeks left before the playoffs. So I think, in my own mind, I'd be surprised to see him back before the playoffs. So it's going to be a little bit, and the Nuggets are going to have to survive without him. And hopefully, though, that they'll get Monte Morris back here sooner than later.
PJ Dozier's picked up some of that slack with Will Barton out as well. And we saw when PJ got the chance to play some last year in the postseason. Guy can defend. He can score a little bit. How much can he help offset the loss of Will Barton for right now?
Well, defensively, he's one of the best defensive rating players in the entire NBA. And so, he is a real asset to the Nuggets on that end of the court can really guard a number of positions and do that to a very high level. So defensively, they're set with him there. And then offensively, as you mentioned, he can score a little bit. I mean, obviously, he's coming off two games ago, 23 points, which was a career high for him. So, I mean, he's got ability on the offensive end as well, can break down his man one-on-one, get straight to the rim and finish around there. Obviously, step back and hit a three-point shot as well. He'll look to be a little more consistent for the three-point line. I think from him, it's going to be a thing. I think when you're talking about the difference, the biggest difference between P.J. Dozier and Will Barton is the three-point percentage just overall. I mean, Will Barton was shooting, I believe this was a career high for him, was 38% from three-point line versus 31% right now over the course of the season for P.J. Dozier, even though that's just a little bit better in this interim time since he's played more. But, the three-point shooting is a big deal. It's been a big deal to this Nuggets offense all year long. They've been one of the top three or four three-point shooting teams in the NBA all season long. But they're taking hits to that because Jamal Murray was a 41% three-point shooter. Will Barton was a 38% three-point shooter. Monte Morris, 37% three-point shooter. And so when you start removing those players from your lineup, that area takes a hit. And so it's incumbent upon the players that are stepping up to be able to knock some of those shots down and keep that profile for this offense high.
Altitude's Chris Dempsey joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Not just Will Barton with his injury, but Monte Morris, that hamstring, that right hamstring continues to plague him, continues to be a problem for him. What have you heard in regard to Monte Morris and a kind of a timetable of when we can see him back on the floor, hopefully on some kind of consistent basis?
Yeah, I'm hopeful of that. That's going to be sooner rather than later. There's been no official timetable set for Monte Morris' return. He's been gone for a little while now, and it didn't sound like his strain was as bad as Will Barton's. So, I'm hopeful he'll be back, not just before the regular season, but maybe hopefully in the next week to 10 days. That's just me talking. We'll see with him. And the Nuggets could obviously use him. They need as many players, especially when you start talking about it, maybe he'll get right back into the starting lineup, or maybe they'll use him as a reserve. I don't know how that will go once he returns, but they can certainly use all the wing scoring and ball handling that they can that they can get. And one thing that you lose when you lose Jamal and Will and Monte is those are three ball handlers for you. The Nuggets can try to get some of that back here with Monte Morris. I think he'll be back before the end of the regular season, and they'll need him. And that'll be a little bit of a boost for the Nuggets. And then once he returns, because Will Barton seems to be a long ways off. I mean, once Monte returns, that's going to be the team right there. And so the Nuggets have to get figured out how they're going to operate with Monte back with the cast of characters that they have right now, and then endeavor to be the best versions of themselves going into the playoffs.
From Altitude covers the Nuggets, Chris Dempsey with us today on the Team Sports Network. Now, I have to bring up about Monte Morris because he came up, Chris, with the nickname for Michael Porter Jr. Showtime.
Yeah, Showtime. Yeah.
I'm. Where are you with Showtime? Because I think Showtime, man, I'm sorry. I think of the Lakers. I think of Magic and Norm Nixon and Kareem and James Worthy and those guys. I think Michael Porter Jr. has now entered the kind of territory where it deserves a nickname. Can we come up with something? No offense to Monte. Love Monte Morris, but is Showtime really the best nickname that we can come up with for Michael Porter Jr.? It seems like that's kind of a cop-out, to be quite honest.
Well, he's Showtime. I think this goes back to when Mike showed up when he was a rookie. And so when Michael showed up when he was a rookie, I mean, he was very confident. And, I think Paul Millsap told a story one time that he was basically, as he was not playing, remember, he did not play his first full year when he was with the Nuggets, but behind the scenes, he was telling everybody, hey, listen, I'm going to, you just wait till I get on the court. I'm gonna do A, B, C, X, Y, Z, and really talking himself up to the point where I remember So the year that he was going to play in summer league, he had talked himself up to the point where multiple Nuggets, veteran Nuggets players, were very eagerly awaiting the chance to see him play in the summer league, because they were just like, okay, we've seen you, we understand that you talk a lot of, you talk a big game, and that we see flashes of big game in you, but we want to see that on the court. But then you'll recall Michael Porter Jr. got injured prior to the to that summer league, so nobody saw him in the summer league, and so nobody saw him until he actually got on the court with the Nuggets in that following season, and then he's so this. I guess my point is that from the big talking to the big time play, it's been showtime. You know, you turn on the lights, and the guy makes all the shots, and he makes great plays, and he puts up all the points, and he just does it so effortlessly. And so I see where Monte Morris is coming up with that. I actually kind of like it. I do see where you're coming from with the Lakers and the Showtime Lakers, where it's a different kind of Showtime with the Lakers, right? It was the fast pace, the passing, Magic Johnson, no look passing, all of that went into just a greatest show on earth kind of an atmosphere with those Lakers, versus just one guy going out and every single night just lighting up the scoreboard and putting in big points. So I think that both Showtimes can coexist. and so for Michael Porter Jr., I actually think it's a pretty fun nickname for him, because it kind of is, to me, it kind of is Showtime. Every time this guy steps on the court, the shots that he makes and the points that he puts up and just the production has just been amazing. And since I was just doing this little research last night, since Jamal Murray went down, he and Nikola Jokic are the fourth highest scoring duo in the NBA. And, you know, and that is, you know, Nikola's numbers have always been that high, but that is in a complete tribute to what Michael Porter Jr. has done since Jamal Murray has gone down, and that is scored 25 points per game. And that's just ridiculous shooting, over 50 from the field and over 50 from the three-point line. And he does it consistently. And so it just is, you know, it's bright lights, big city for that guy every time he steps on the court.
Well, I like that, bright lights, big city. Maybe something, that's not going to work. I've got one. How about a little tip of the hat to Kid Cudi, Kid Cool. Kid Cool for Michael Porter Jr. I don't know. I'm just saying. Just,
I like it.
You can float that one out there. It's not going to probably stick. But, yeah, but Michael Porter Jr. has been great. 31 against Memphis the other night. The Nuggets over the past 15 games, they're 12-3. It's the league's best mark over the past 15 games. Hoping to continue that tonight against the New Orleans Pelicans. We got Chris Dempsey from Altitude joining us today on the Jim Davis Show. And tonight, this is one of these games where this is where Aaron Gordon – certainly, this is where his value is, and part of the reason they went out and got him, because Aaron Gordon's going to get a chance to score off against Zion Williamson. The Nuggets have a chance to win the season series against the Pelicans tonight. And so, like I said, this is one of those games where outstanding score, tough matchup in Zion Williamson. This is Aaron Gordon time tonight in this matchup.
Well, yeah, and it's going to be tough. I mean, you know, Zion runs through the entire NBA. You know, the numbers that he puts up and the field goal percentage that with which he does that is, you know, among the best in league history, you know, in terms of what he does every single night. And so this will be, you know, it's a matchup that it'll be tough. And, yeah, this is why he brought Aaron Gordon here. And so you just have to stay in the fight against Zion Williamson, because he's going to get to his spots. He's just too big and too explosive for the majority of players at his position. And he obviously has had a couple of good games against the Nuggets. I think going into tonight's game, you got to do what you can against Zion in terms of walling him off, not letting him get downhill, not letting him get, you know, a head of steam toward your rim, because once he does that, nobody's stopping him from getting to the rim at that point. So you just got to make him hesitate, try to stop and start, you know, those kinds of things that don't allow him to get momentum to the rim immediately. And then you have a much better chance. But I think what they do against Brandon Ingram is going to be a little more important, because he's the guy that you can force into a very inefficient shooting night and, quite frankly, a subpar scoring night. And they did that the last time that these two teams met. And I think that was the difference between the loss to the Pelicans the first time, which Brandon Ingram scores 30 points in that game and makes plays down the stretch to help the Pelicans win, and then the win that the Nuggets had over the Pelicans, in which Brandon Ingram scored 13 points in that game on very terrible shooting from the field. And so he's the guy that they can, if they can kind of get in a space to where he's just not having a great night, that gives you a better chance to beat the New Orleans Pelicans, because, you know, the Pelicans are one of the highest scoring teams in the NBA, but then defensively they're just not there for most nights. And so if you can take out one of their two stars, and now your offense has gotten a chance to get into a Pelicans defense that really has not played very well at all at any point in time in this season, now you're going to give yourself a chance to win. And so it'll be interesting to see how this game plays out, because the first two in this series were very different looking games. And so which team can get their personality and their players' personalities on the court over the others is going to be the one that wins here tonight.
Hey, Chris, I always appreciate the time. We'll have it tonight with Jason Kosmiski right here on the team. Nuggets taking on the New Orleans Pelicans at Ball Arena pregame at 6:30 tonight. Chris, always appreciate it. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Chris Dempsey from Altitude covering the Nuggets does a great job covering Nuggets basketball. All right, 8:56. Next hour, we'll talk a little draft with Cody Rourke, host of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Plus, next hour, top of the hour, we'll have our Broncos mock drafts. Nothing is...
I'm ready to go. No, I've straight up jacked from like four different people.
Okay.
Yep.
I actually took the time...
Well, I did some research.
And crafted this together. Yeah. Lovingly, mm-hmm. with an artisan touch.
On this mock draft. I don't have any trades, though. I didn't go that far.
Do I have one trade? I do have a trade.
Because once you get into the seventh round, I mean...
Right. Well, this
is kind of a crapshoot.
Yeah. Well, this is not a trade in the seventh round.
Oh, okay.
No. No.
Ooh, intrigue.
No. That's not in the seventh round. That's a tease. That's what we call in the business a tease. We will take a break and we'll come back. Still have time to text in today. The Pioneer League, they're going to go with Home Run Derby to resolve extra inning games. Do you like that idea? So send us your thoughts on that today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. That's 970-242-1340. Take a break and come back with Hour 3 on the team.